redistrict. Okay. So the any questions on that NCO? And council members can ask if they've got a specific line item. You can ask Ben, I guess, during the week, and he can explain what's going on.
Mike, this is Jim Merrick.
Yes, Jim.
Hey, I had a busy time here with Jesse in the past couple of days, and I was kind of planning to leave this meeting at 7 here, I thought we'd get done because there wasn't all that much on the agenda, but I'm going to head out. So I'll catch up with everything before the meeting on next Monday there.
Okay. And you'll have a report, I think, next Monday on your trip to the Alternative Energy Conference, I think.
Yeah, Sustainable Energy Conference. And I'd also like to talk a little bit about Side Path. I'll keep it brief.
Sounds good. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay, so now we're down to whoever's in the room here. That's okay. Okay, so the our next item is an ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of administrative budgets for fiscal year 2023, and this one's just adds the expense line for the Brian Waverly Memorial Fund project equivalent to the amount of money that was donated for that. So it just appropriates the money that came in for that to pay for that project. So this is a one-time thing this year, and just balances out the income with the outgo on that. Any questions? Okay. And the next one is the playground equipment project. And we've selected equipment and from one of the manufacturers that offered us, and we need to have a total amount of money on the order of $38,000 to cover the equipment purchase and installation. This may not cover the installation enough, but this is more than enough for us to order the equipment. And in the meantime, we'll be putting out an RFQ to actually install it. The installation requires some concrete footers to be poured for some of the items and so forth. They have to be assembled. So there's certainly several thousand dollars worth of work that we need to extend the existing pad out there where the playground equipment is in the Salmon River Park. So we'll have to have some gravel for that. And so there'll be some expense to that. And we'll have an idea of what that is probably well before the equipment actually gets here. And if we need to appropriate some extra funding for it, we can do that. So I'm enthusiastic about getting this equipment installed, and so that we hope before the end of the summer, kids will be able to play on the new equipment and enjoy it. Any questions here in the room?
Just a point of clarification, this sure. is also included with the Healthy Communities piece.
Yes.
That we hope to have an answer by within about a month.
Right.
So hopefully. There was a whole lot more once the environmental funds got released for application. They thought they had plenty of money to be able to meet everybody's needs, but they got in several million dollars requests beyond for the environmental piece of the funding that they had left over. So it's going to take a little longer than they thought to approve the projects. That's
okay.
Or not approve the projects, but I think we still have a big chance of getting this.
Yeah, project. I hope we do if we can. But to my way of thinking, this is something that will benefit families in this community for a long time. And if we have to funded ourselves, it's worth doing out of our capital thing. That's equivalent to just a few snow plowings, if you want to look at it that way.
I just wanted to remind that that was another.
Yeah, thanks for raising that. We'll certainly hope that that grant comes through for that, plus for the beach accessibility equipment. So, okay, so that'll be on the agenda to approve that NCO. And then there's, let me go back up to the. Yeah, I think that was number five. So now we can go to number six is, that's right. So we go on to new business, and there's one new business item, by the way, that's not on, wasn't on this draft agenda. And that's the approval of the road maintenance contract. We had one bidder for the annual road maintenance contract, which was Glacier Bay Construction. So we will have in the on the agenda the approval of or the award of that contract to cover annual road maintenance. And this year, that does not include snow plowing. We will be doing snow plowing as a separate RFQ this year, like we did most years in the past. But this will get us going, and by approving this before July 1st, we'll be ready to just roll into the new fiscal year with money to continue road maintenance right from the 1st of July. So that'll be added to new business. There's a resolution that is an amendment of AMLIP policy. That's number six, and I'm going to try to scan down to that one. And Ben can give us a explanation of this one. Okay, so there'll be a resolution that adopts a policy and procedure for restricted funds and AMLIP account management. And the policy and procedure is attached. So it's coming up on the screen now. Ben, would you like to comment on this?
Okay. So basically the city has had unrestricted fund policy, but it hasn't had a policy specifically concerning the AMLIP accounts and how we use them. And so after conversations with the council over the last few months, I've created a policy based on the what I heard the council say. It's basically creating it's redistributing the money in the account so that we have specific accounts with specific purposes, including an account where instead of moving the capital project funds into the checking account, we move them into an AMLIP account where they can stay and continue to gain interest until a time when we're ready to pay the bills that money has been allocated for. So I think this was the intention when the AMLIP accounts were originally set up this way. I just don't think that the policy was ever put into place. And so this was my answer to that. There were two question marks on it that Mike brought up. One, in the road maintenance, I put a minimum road maintenance amount with the idea that we would always have at least this fiscal year's amount of money put away for next year in the road maintenance account. Mike wasn't sure if that was necessary or not. And the other was with the reserve account. We've had council members say that it'd be nice to build that up, with one council member saying we could have an extra year's worth of our budget in place there. And so I made a maximum of the current fiscal year's budget total as the amount that we would put in reserve, so that future councils, with an idea of stocking surplus funds away in perpetuity, would not be able to do that past the amount of money for the current fiscal year's budget. So those were the two question marks on there, but everything else I think is pretty straightforward.
Well, there was the terminology on the up under restricted funds. You referred to under restricted funds, you referred to the capital improvement. Current and capital improve. Account, and then in the next paragraph we used capital projects, and we're going to use capital improvement
current, capital improvement current, capital improvement long term. That's the way they are set up with AMLIP, and I have fixed those will be ready for the general meeting as well.
So there's not a separate a different account that's capital improvement versus capital projects current. That those are the same account. So now I had some thoughts on the a couple of things here on the on the road maintenance encumbered or unencumbered. I'd give you some history on that. When we first started doing road maintenance, we were of course using Forest Service receipt funds, and the Forest Service receipts funds were encumbered in that they could only be used for road maintenance. And so we set up a road maintenance encumbered account at that point to keep those separate so they could only be used for road maintenance. And then we pulled our road maintenance budget line out of that account. And then at one point that the council was concerned about, thinking far ahead, and they had a bunch of extra money. I think it was when Sandy Marchbanks was mayor, and they decided to move some money into a road maintenance unencumbered account. So parallel to the encumbered one, and they put about 3 years of road maintenance money in there with the idea that they were concerned about whether we'd have enough money to do road maintenance in the future. We no longer have a road maintenance encumbered account because we use all of the Forest Service funds. Now we've used up all the excess that we had in previous years when we were getting a lot more forest receipts money than we were spending each year. That surplus has long since been used up. So we don't use that account. There's probably no point in having a road maintenance unencumbered account anymore. Road maintenance is just one function. We don't have a library unencumbered account or, a DRC unencumbered account that we set money ahead for. So my recommendation would be that we delete that account and we can put it into reserve or some other place. Did I make sense on that to you? Do you understand what I'm suggesting here, that we don't really need a special account to save extra money for road maintenance? We will appropriate that every year, just like we do all the other functions.
And I have no objection to that. I was just using the accounts we had.
Right. And that makes sense. Now, then there's the AMLIP reserve. And the idea in here has been that we would keep money in reserve that's at least equivalent or is approximately equivalent to our operating budget for the year. That suggests that there is then another reserve account other than the AMLIP reserve that we put cash in, because we have a lot more extra cash than the equivalent of 1 year's budget. My thought is that we put it all in the AMLIP reserve, but we keep track of that. We never let the AMLIP reserve drop below the equivalent of our annual operating budget. There's another issue around this too to think about. If we have set up, say we do our budget for the year and we know what our operating budget is going at the start of the year, but then during the year, because we have extra revenue and we sometimes increase our spending for certain budget lines, does that mean that we go back and then add some more into the reserve to keep it up to the equivalent of the new total of the budget? So we would have to, if we do that, we either have to just set it once and say, we're just going to do the initial, we're going to have an AMLIP reserve that is equal to the original budget, or, and then that's all we do, even though the budget changes during the year. Sometimes we get special one-time grants, you know, that we spend in the operating budget. So do we boost the AMLIP reserve because of that or not? So either we just do it for the initial budget, or we continually update it with whenever we increase the budget for reasons, or we put all of our extra money in there and we have more than enough so that we're always got well over our annual budget. So you want to comment on that idea, Ben?
Yeah, because I think that if I understand what you're saying, it would only matter if we had a minimum amount of money that we kept in the reserve account that we would have to change it. And I didn't suggest a minimum, I suggested a maximum for the reserve. So by putting in this year, it was $1.2 million, more or less. So we would say, okay, the reserve is capped at $1.2 million because that was our budget. If we continued to raise the budget, we wouldn't need to raise the reserve because the reserve is a maximum, not a minimum. But either way, it was just, you know, based on what a few of the council members said and what I was thinking was having a maximum capped it. But after our conversation, I questioned whether or not, like you said, do we need to have six different AMLIP accounts? Not necessarily. We could have a reserve account, a current capital improvement account, and a repair or maintenance and repair account.
So, and a gravel account.
A gravel pit, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, this needs to be discussed more with when we had more council members available to discuss it. And so if we need to pull it off the agenda and discuss it at a time when there's more council members, I'm open to that too. You know, we're just trying to create something that works. And, you know, without more input, it's hard to say. So at the moment, what we have is our input.
Yeah, I can jump in on this. My audio just
sure. Go ahead, Brian.
Just so that so Susan can hear, because I think she might be the only one listening from afar. But yeah, I appreciate the thought put into this, and I like the direction. Certainly, it definitely matches a lot of what we've talked about. I would be really interested to have a more robust discussion among the council when we actually have more of the council here as to exactly what we envision as far as, you know, do we shoot for a maximum? Personally, I would almost be inclined to not put like a specific arbitrary limit necessarily, but to kind of maybe put like a target, you know, something we aim for, but we're not like, you know, by code required to this number, X number. I think a target might be a little bit, or at least matches the sense that I've gotten out of our discussion, or it's, you know, it's what we're aiming for, but not like something that turns into, you know, a ball and chain later because we've set this strange limit that we now have to follow. So I think that postponing this for another work session or bringing this up in another work session where we can have a better, more robust discussion about exactly what we're shooting for with the reserve account and whether or not that needs to be a maximum. Because I mean, I think I can understand the mindset of like, we don't want to, you know, have the city just be like hoarding a cash pile. But then one aspect of the conversation we kind of started into that, was that April when this happened? But was sort of, you know, using the money we have to make more money so we don't have to like raise revenue elsewhere. And then in that case, the more money you have sitting, the more money you make from your money. So it's, I don't know if a maximum necessarily fits my sense of that. So it's, but it's hard to say without more input. Yeah, I guess I'll just circle back to there more robust discussion with more of us here would definitely make this easier.
Is your mic on?
No, I turned my, well, yeah, my mic is on.
So I just say real quick, you know, because Brian was one of the people who was kind of pushing for how do we not have this money in our checking account. And so the other day when I was doing this, if when we get around to to doing the main part of this, which is creating the capital improvement current account to hold the money instead of a checking account, we could today move $280,000 back into an interest bearing account out of our checking account. So it is something that we should continue to work towards, but I do think that more of the council should be available to discuss it, because there's, like Mike said, we could get rid of some of these accounts. We could, there's all kinds of things we could do. This was just an outline to say,
yeah,
you know, this is the start. And so
no, I like where it's headed. I mean, I wish we could even break it down a little bit more simply and just do the, if we could simplify this to just capital improvement current account and just put that on the agenda for this next meeting. I don't think that's anything that we really need. Like, I think that's a really cut and dry and simple thing that we don't necessarily need to have a ton more discussion on, and I'd be happy to see that implemented. I have a hard time imagining anyone would be opposed to that. It's really just the reserve one and whether that needs to be a minimum or a maximum or what you want to shoot for there that I even have a question about.
I have some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
The reserve account, well, I guess, let me try my...
your mic on?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay.
You're on.
All right. So when we were first discussing this at last month's meetings, we'd heard that $500,000 was taken out of reserves for the Good River Bridge. And then when it was funded to the city, it was put into the capital long-term account, at which point $275,000 or some amount of money went into the long-term capital account, bringing that account to over $1 million. My concern, and we talked, I remember Tanya expressed the same feeling too, is that we have a rainy day fund. We don't have an account where the money can be spent casually. I have concerns about the minimum aspect, and I find it kind of hard to believe that there's a major concern that the council is going to be, you know, kind of stockpiling this money and not spending it. I mean, I think the point is that you want to have money that's untouchable. You want to have money that's used if there's true rainy day funds, if there's a problem that arises where you don't have the ordinary income stream for your operating expenses, or if there's an unanticipated disaster. And so I've got some motions I was going to bring up next week, but so I think it should be a minimum balance of the current fiscal year's budget. And then the next sentence, I think it strikes me that any amount over the current fiscal year's budget will be moved immediately to another account through the NCO process. It's like, okay, if you get more than, you know, 1 year's budget, then you got to move it quickly. So my thought is to delete that, to make this clearly a rainy day fund, something that we don't touch, we don't spend, we don't move money in and out. But then we have a new account, which I guess people want to simplify. And what was I going to call that? An AMLIP general assets account, that there be another interest-bearing holding account for any surplus funds. That can, you know, then the money can move in and out of there freely. And at the same time, we're not imperiling, you know, this little stockpile that we have in case we get into real problems. Let's see if there's anything else that I want to say about that. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that I think that is.
Oh, I know. I did have one more thing that I wanted to say, which is that I like that, and I think this is great. I think this is a really good start, and I really appreciate, I like the concept. I don't know about encumbered or unencumbered, but I do like the concepts of having what is appropriated with the terms. I liked having a distinction between accounts that have been approved through the council process. You know, the funding expenditures. I like having that, you know, that process, having a delineation between what is sort of money that hasn't gone through the approval process.
Okay, I think your view is similar to mine. I also thought that it needed to be a minimum of, because we would be demonstrating that we have in reserve the equivalent of at least a 1 year's operating funding. It could be more, but then there was the question of Ben had said we would if we had too much in the AMLIP reserve, it would go into another account, but he didn't say what that account was. That could be the account that you've suggested as a some kind of second reserve, that the AMLIP reserve is one that we would just maintain to always be equal to our operating funds. It would earn interest. So that's a good reason for that, especially with current interest rates. We earn a lot of money on interest. So it's okay for a portion of our funds to be sitting there doing that instead of having to increase taxes, for example, when we can make it on interest instead. What I was suggesting was just put it all in that one, but I'm also think it would be fine to have a second account. We do probably want to minimize or simplify our AMLIP account. So, but we'll be getting rid of the road maintenance unencumbered one. And then if we had two reserve accounts, one that's at least equal to the operating fund, and then another that's all other funds that are not encumbered. And they're funds that we can draw from if we need to for capital or whatever. It's there. But that would then show that that AMLIP reserve count would be evidence of a strong fiscal management on the city's standpoint. Not very many cities have the equivalent of a year's operating budget in savings. I mean, we could operate off of our last year's savings without any income this year at all, and we'd still be okay. So that demonstrates that level of conservative fiscal management here. So we would have... And I do agree that I would like to just take it off the agenda, and let's try a little bit of a rewrite on this in a few of these areas. And another thing was on the next page on the appendix, which describes how we put money in the R&R or the repair and replacement fund. And one is for... We have a formula or a means of determining how much goes into those funds, and for items that have a lifetime of less than of at least 1 year, but less than 10 years, we would set aside 100% of the replacement fund spread over the lifetime of the asset. So if we expect, say we think those beach wheelchairs are going to last 8 years, and they cost $8,000, say, we'd be putting aside $1,000 each year, roughly. But we know that there's going to be inflation. So what we should do is calculate what the replacement cost is likely to be using inflation, anticipated inflation. We don't know what it'll really be, but we can pick, say, 3% or something like that, and probably not be too far off. And then do a net present value or a calculation on that tells us how much to set aside each year, so that when that 8 years is up, we've got we now have $9,000 or whatever we think their cost will be to replace at that point. And we could also ignore the interest that we will be earning. So that interest is essentially gravy on top of what we're, putting aside. And we would have to do a similar thing for the long-term one, where we're trying to put aside at least 10% of the replacement value of long-term assets that are large expenditures, which might be something like a DRC building or something that's going to last 50 years, and we'd be putting enough money aside over 50 years to replace that at that time at whatever its value is going to be then. So, Kathy, did you want to say something about this?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, to Brian's point about not having enough people here, and Ben saying that, to a lot of discussions about our finances, and how we want these different accounts to be, including the fact that I had also asked Ben to put the asset allocation plan on here, because I don't know when the last time it was reviewed, but I was thinking with the new council, it might be time to look at it. And I'd like to make a suggestion, because there are so many finance considerations going on, that maybe you want to have a special work session just for financial things, so you can focus only on those things, so that those discussions can be had. If we need to bring somebody from the plan for the endowment fund to talk about our investment portfolio, we could do that in a work session. So I think that it's enough stuff that you might want to have a specific work session. Mm-hmm. The other question I was going to ask Ben was, for this account, whether or not you have the 1 year's budget in there, or whether or not you use the same account so you don't have to create another one for for additional funds. Could we not have that B1 account, Ben, and just encumber the budget funds within that account and say those aren't, you know, that's next year's budget, we don't touch that, but these other ones are addition to that. Kind
of virtually partition it, yeah. In other words, yeah.
Exactly.
The money is all the same. The money is just in a big pot. We've separated it out into these categories. We can separate it out in any categories we want.
I'm talking about managing more accounts than we need to. It's
not really managing the accounts. We're just, money's just in a big pot. I'm just putting in how much interest we make each month into each one, and then you sign up on it.
So I don't really care. I was just thinking, if we didn't want to make more accounts, and we could encumber the budget amount and put the other stuff in.
We don't need to make more accounts. If we want to call the road maintenance encumbered account the asset, whatever Shelley said account, we'll just change the name of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that's my 2 cents, maybe having a special work session for finance things, because we also, again, haven't looked at, I mean, we're making money on it, but we haven't looked at the portfolio for a long time. And it might be time to consider.
Yeah. And we're talking about two different things there. You're talking about the endowment fund, and we're talking about AMLET. So right. Those are separate. And the only other thing I do want to say, I know I'm not supposed to talk at work sessions, but
of course you may. Well,
but the appendix isn't something that we made up. That's Alaska Government Financial Officers Association's recommendation.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's not like we decided 10% or whatever. That's what they recommend. Right. And so Kathy asked about the inflation as well. And I assume the inflation is figured into that. And if not, like you said, if we've got the money in AMLET, the interest should be making up for the additional cost of inflation.
The interest might, but we could ignore the interest, and in my view, and essentially it's gravy, it's extra surety on top. So, okay, well, we'll take this one off, and maybe it would be a good idea to have a special work session on these financial things, and we'll have to really do some planning for it, so we got all the background information and we know exactly what the issues are that we want to discuss. And
we had some passing on the the investment strategies and stuff. Seems pretty overwhelming for a general session. But I wanted to ask, what did you say the appendix, the source of that?
The AGFOA, Alaska Government Financial Officers Association. It's what I went up to last year. That was my portion of the AML conference. And could I say, I was going to bring up, when we got around to that asset allocation plan, that it does say in the ordinance that every 3 years the council is to sit down and review our investments. We hadn't gotten there yet, so
that's the next item. Okay. So
do we have someone that could be available to?
Well, that's why I suggested a special work session for all these things at once.
I would just do this and be done with it. This one is it's a very simple thing. The outfit that is managing our endowment fund recommends to us we've given them our risk, our Yeah, the kind of risk level that we're interested in. And so they have recommended to us this particular asset distribution that meets that kind of those criteria that we've set. And we do it when they, if they suggest that we might want to, 2 years or so ago, we actually addressed whether we wanted to make a change. And we did make a change to, I think, a little higher risk level on some of the stuff. But essentially, this is their recommendation. And I don't think this is changed from the previous year. It's the same distribution.
Very slight. There was some in the like if it's 10 to 15, maybe it changed from 10 to 15 to 10 to 18.
Yeah.
There was very few and they were very slight, the changes from last year's or the year before. Yeah. There wasn't one from last year.
So it's fairly routine that we accept what they recommend.
And
they are Alaska Public Capital Management, APCM.
So to me, it's fairly straightforward. I would just go ahead and accept it. It's been their strategy has worked for us for years, and we've been able to meet the goals of our endowment fund to make grants for projects and so quite well. It's fairly conservative in its distribution. If we changed it, it would likely be a higher risk. And I don't think that'd be acceptable to a lot of people.
What's the source of the requirement that we review it every 3 years? Is that an ordinance?
Mm-hmm. I'd have to.
And this is the year?
No, I don't know when the year was. Eduardo wasn't. This didn't happen last year. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know when the last time the council evaluated.
So there are tweaks.
I think it was about 2 years.
3 year periods of adjustments are made.
APCM is making adjustments based on, like Mike's, based on what we
criteria.
And so normally at this time of the year, the treasurer would request the. I don't know if the whole packet is in the document or just the resolution. I didn't look.
No, the packet is the resolution includes the distribution by asset class.
Right, but the packet I sent to each council member to show you how they came up with it.
Oh.
So you would have
like an asset class target weighing range.
Yeah, there was graphs and there's all kinds of yeah. So that you know the treasurer in May or June is supposed to request that they go through, crunch some numbers, send us that. The treasurer then adjusts the previous resolution to match the numbers that they've given us for this year, and then the council is to approve it or not approve of it.
So so I gather that the big picture is that we make a determination about our risk level every 3 years, but what are our criteria? Is that a written document? Do we have a list of the criteria that we can look at?
I don't know, Shelly. I'd have to go back to the ordinance. I found this while I was looking for something else and was like, oh, look at that. We're supposed to be doing this. So that's, you know, I didn't have last year's to go off of, but I can get you that information.
It's okay. No, I just, I don't know what our criteria is.
Well, and like Mike said, I don't know what, you know, you're the council, so you decide the criteria. We do lose money. Some months we lose money. Yeah. Some months we make money, but we always make more than we lose, and we make enough to give some of it. This year was $36,000 away. Mm-hmm. On top of what we made. So, you know, I guess in the past, the council has felt like that was appropriate.
And we're inflation proofing it too.
Right.
So,
yeah, not.
So
yeah.
we're adjusting our. So I don't know, Brian, you're more into this stuff than I am. Do you have any feelings on this?
I feel like. I was surprised to see the asset mix. It feels a little bit, I've never managed a portfolio this large, but it felt a little bit risky to me to have the 30% in large cap equity, and I don't know what alternative beta is, but I haven't seen that email, so I'm opening that right now to see what alternative beta even means. Those were the only questions I really had. This is a good risk level that we've had for a long time, and it's been performing. I mean, I'd almost be inclined to maybe dial back the risk a little bit with fixed interest getting to be as high as it is, and market. I mean, I don't think we should manage these funds based on market fears realistically. So maybe we just leave it as is. But I don't think that, in any case, I don't think we're setting ourselves up for disaster with the asset mix here. We probably wouldn't be hurting ourselves by moving a little bit more from like large cap equity or whatever alternative beta might be to fixed income market. That's just, I mean, now that we're sitting in a position where real inflation numbers are starting to show like 4.1% and fixed income short dated treasuries are paying like 5.5%. So you can beat inflation just buying the risk-free rate right now in the market. So, I mean, that's really the target that we have set in the endowment fund, is just to try and beat inflation. Basically, what is the inflation rate, like 3% or something like that? Inflation plus 3%, I want to say what the target is. Anyway, so
yes.
I feel like it's not a super crazy allocation. If anything, on my first read of it, I would have been inclined to maybe dial the risk back a little bit just because the risk-free rate is so great right now. But I don't think that we're going to live or die by this decision, honestly.
So I think I may be missing something. You're talking about beta and large cap, and you said that you sent out something else in addition to the packet?
Yes.
I don't see an email from you.
It's on May 30th. May 30th.
Yeah, the first one.
And
I think one important thing to remember here is we can accept a significant bit of risk because we're in this for the long term. We're going to have this fund going on and on for years, and right, that's the whole idea of it. The market goes up and down with its volatility, but over time, even the risky stuff keeps going up. And so if one class of our assets goes down, it doesn't matter that much. Or even if the market, even if we lost money in a year, it doesn't matter that much, because we'll make money the next year. And we have a formula for determining what our grants are that's based on the average over the last 5 years, I think, something like that. So we're making our grants based on this 5-year average value of the fund, and the fund's going to keep has some volatility, but it goes up and down a little bit, but over time it keeps going up, and that's why I'm not too worried about us having too high a risk in this. If we're getting into Bitcoin, that'd be different, but we aren't.
Well, I'm just suggesting, if it is the third year and Brian's right about the fixed asset rate right now, that because they work for us, then they should be able to come here and review that with us and the council. Mm-hmm. And so if it is truly the third year, then maybe we need to look.
Let me just say that, so that there's no confusion on this. I didn't call them up and say, hey, can you send us what you have on our strategic plan? I said, can you come up with our strategic plan and present it to us? So this took them about a month to compile this information. So they didn't just give us last year's stuff and say, you guys are doing just fine. Somebody who does this for a living created this information for us based on,
what they understand our needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
And I apologize. I just overlooked your email.
These things will happen.
So it does say ending April 30th, 2023. So we do.
Pardon?
It does say from here and ending April 30th, 2023. So it looks like this is our 30th.
Yeah.
Well, that's when they prepared it. That doesn't mean that it hadn't been reviewed within the last 30
years. Yeah, because I didn't get that before. I think that's a typo or something.
Oh, or this is, they stopped, they ended the review as of April 30th.
Yeah, that's what I can do. It's, mm-hmm. They sent this review April.
Yeah.
The data nice. Ends. I mean, looking through the email that you sent, it seems like they've already acted on the thoughts that I have as far as increasing our weight more or less risky inflation, I mean, yeah, fixed income assets and lowered our exposure and received up. The only question I'm left with right now is what is alternative beta? That's the only thing I would be curious about. But otherwise, I think that this looks... I would be so happy to just sample it and move on.
One thing we've done in the past, by the way, we've had them call in at for this item on our agenda, and we can actually ask them to, or you can ask them questions, and we can have them explain the rationale in the actual meeting if you want.
And I can find out what alternative beta is, so send them an email tomorrow.
I'm just curious what it's...
Well, do you want to ask them to, I mean, they have done that in the past, at least once I recall, we had them online for a meeting.
I think unless other council members have like major questions or we're thinking about taking like a big step in a different direction as far as our investment strategy goes, doesn't feel like that's necessarily the case, I think. But then we're probably fine to just, well, not, because I think this report was pretty great. I just haven't seen it.
I think it was 3 years ago or so that we'd actually did take a significant step. We made a, and the council was uncertain at the time whether to increase our risk level in an area like they recommended that we could have, we could count on a certain percent more income if we adjusted our, you know, a few categories to a higher risk. And I think, as I recall, we ended up doing that, but it sounds like this is more fine-tuning at this point.
I think a starting point would be to find out when our 3 years up.
Yeah,
that's
a good place to start. I mean, if we end up having this, well, yeah, I was going to say, if we end up having a special work session to go more into detail about the AMLIT accounts and exactly what we want to do there, it seems like we could potentially kind of slap this on the side, but I don't want to derail too much by broadening the scope of that meeting. So I think that
why don't you guys come with a some thoughts about when you'd like to have a special work session on the finances here. And let's discuss it at the general meeting, and we'll come up with a date. We can do that in council comments at the end, I think.
Yeah.
And come up with a date for when we want to have a special meeting. Okay. The next one is updating the policy for the city banking policy. And so we have a resolution that adopts a procedure, which is, I think, just a one-page procedure, right? Or, well, it goes one item on the next page. Is this something that you also want to postpone? Ben, do you want to give a review of what this was about?
Yeah, so this,
on my microphone?
This is a little simpler than the AMLIP one. The old banking policy said that the city clerk will maintain a checking account average of $20,000 to $30,000 and will put money in CDs and trusts. And that was a one-page document made in 2006. So this just updates it to say basically what the treasurer does, who the treasurer works for, what the intentions are. It doesn't have dollar limits or anything like that. It's just the treasurer will do these things in order to maintain a responsible fiscal state of Gustavus. So I unless anybody has any questions, it's pretty straightforward. It's just that this is what I'm going to do and this is why. And that way, if something happens to me and you hire a new treasurer, they'll have some direction of where what they're supposed to be doing. based on the rules. It's one of the things that Phoebe told me when I first started is if you don't know what to do, look in the policy and procedure or look in the ordinance. And when I went to the ordinance for this or the policy and procedure for this, there just wasn't anything that really meant anything. So I changed it, updated it.
There's what looked like a typo to me in the under the general banking procedures item one, you city treasurer will make deposits as is needed. I would just get rid of the is, so we could do that. This is fairly straightforward, and we can just go ahead and keep this one on the agenda unless people have reason to think otherwise, suggest otherwise.
No, I think it looks good. Yeah. It's like awesome.
Okay.
Incremental improvement in our policy procedures next work.
Okay. Well, that's the we've now gone through our whole agenda because we've done the beach equipment thing, and I'll have a mayor's report. We've got a lot of projects done this week or this month. It's been a longer month, of course, because we pushed our meeting out for. But Glacier Bay Construction has finished the septic tank storage facility with the road and everything into that. So that's ready to go, but we're waiting for Juno Septic to modify the lids that go on the tanks. And it's pretty much in Juno Septic's court now for them to get those lids installed and start pumping. And we've been Kathy's been putting pressure on them to get with a program now that we've done all these tanks that they wanted and we've got a facility that's ready to work. And then they also finished the beach hardened trail quite successfully in my view. I hope you've all had a chance to take a look at that. And I've noticed that people have been making fires in the new campfire pit, and we thank Sean Patrick for donating that culvert, or Shane, for donating the culvert coupling that we used to make the fire surround. So they did those, and then just today they finished the pad work for the bike shelter at the library, and they also graded out the whole parking area. And so it's real nice and smooth as it was this morning. And so it's ready for Matt Davis to start building the bike shelter. And I think he's still getting parts and materials for it. But Kathy, do you know anything more on that or where we are on that?
John just sent him the information today that it was completed. And just said, you know, it's done. Hopefully it's all satisfactory or it's ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's done. And I was supposed to call Bob today to
rattle his cage.
But some other things came up, so I have to do that tomorrow.
Okay, good. Yeah, we got people who really want to have their tanks pumped, and we like to give them the business down there to pump them. So hope you'll get on it. Any other things that anybody wants to discuss while we're? I mentioned that John Berry, our project manager for several of these things, texted me today, and he had been hoping that he could come back by early July, and now it looks like he won't be able to come back until September. So
depending on what he gets accomplished with his team, it has to do with his treatment not being there.
Right. Yeah. He was hoping that he could do it in Juneau, but it looks like, I mean, he said today that he'll have to stay in Houston for a little longer, but we just hope that, you know, we're happy to have him take whatever time it is for a successful treatment. And we'll support him 100% in that. And he's been able to do a lot of good work for us on these projects from afar. And then Kathy and I go check out the site and work with the contractors, and it's worked out quite well so far.
Just one question, yeah. If you don't mind.
Sure.
So the bid for the fire truck was arrived at, and Glacier Bay Construction got the winning bid and bid a decent amount on it. I think that the city council had already approved the disposal of that way back when. So I think we can just award it to them. I don't think you have to approve that bid as a disposal of property. Do you?
I'd have to look in the ordinance, but double check that if we need to do an official approval, we'll just let's put it on the agenda this week for next Monday. Thanks.
Yeah. I don't think we have to, because I looked at that before, but I just wanted to.
And we'll be adding to, so that would go under new business if we have to do that. And we also have to do the, under new business goes the RFQ for road maintenance, the award of that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we don't have to, but I'll double check.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think maybe we're done for tonight.
I just wanted to just say that, I mean, it's just three of us here now, but it's been a long week or 2 weeks with you know, being shorthanded to start with, and then with COVID and all of that, which has taught a lesson for several different things. I don't want the council to think that I'm sorry. So I've changed my leave three different times to sort of adjust to the city's needs and meeting schedules and things like that, and I planned on being here for the main meeting, but I had already changed it for the third time, but we didn't know we were going to get COVID and have to postpone the meeting. So I will be calling in, and I apologize for that, but I can't postpone it again. So sure.
We're delighted to have you call in, and
I just want to make.
Hope you have a good trip.
Know that I, you know, that it wasn't that I tried to be here.
Okay, well, I guess we're done then, and I can stop sharing the screen, and we'll bid everybody a good evening. Thank you for. I know Susan's still online there. Thanks, Susan, for tuning in. And
is Susan still on?
Susan's still on.
We got a big portion of our FEMA money, Susan. So just so
you know. Oh, yeah, FEMA.
We've got $164,000 of it. So.
Yeah, and we've got another $72,000 coming in. Thanks for mentioning that. I meant to bring that up. So that's all good. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, and good evening.
Thank you. Did we?